You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
How are y'all? It is good to be in the house. I believe the Lord reminded me this morning that we are not in the business of making bad people good. Like, that's not what we do. We are in the business of making dead people alive, which is so much more fun and exciting and so amazing that just to celebrate during that worship time that we were once dead. Like, sometimes I take that for granted, that the concept, because I've been a Christian for a lot of years, and sometimes I forget that my spirit was once dead, heading for damnation, and now I'm alive. I'm not only alive in the spirit, but I have full access to all of the gifts of heaven, and that's how I get to live my life. It's just confident, like, man, I'm connected to heaven, so it's going to be cool. Thanks, bye. You know, like, I'm just super pumped that we get to live there. I want to go ahead and just pause real quick and say an extra thank you to our production team. All of our guys lined up in the back. Our production team, sometimes they're hard to find because they wear dark colors and they hang out in dark corners and they try to stay hidden. They're literally in the back room. They got their windows tinted. They're like, nobody knows we're here. Maddie, I see you and I'm grateful for you. She and so many of the other members of the team, I'm just so, so honored to serve alongside of them. They do a thing that I know for sure I can't do. They do the buttons and wires. But they also do like the tuning that makes it really important. Like, we couldn't all hear what's happening because of the church our size. We have to have microphones. And when you're watching online, we have to have people editing those things. And they make so many things happen on Sunday morning, but also in the classrooms, also on group nights, also during the nights of prayer. There's so many little bits that they do on a regular basis. So thank you guys. Honor and gratitude to all of you. You guys are a rock star team. One more time for our production team. You know you don't want to have to turn on all the things when you walk in here, so we're grateful for them. I don't want to have to turn on all the things. We are in a season of prayer, and intercession. When I think about when that season started, because we like to think of seasons, like, I'm pretending it's fall right now, not going to lie. I almost sent a picture to my husband yesterday. I was in, like, a full hoodie, sweating, the AC fully on in my car. I'm like, no, it's fall. Just dying right now. I'm like, I'm wearing long sleeve orange because it's fall, but it's going to be 98 today, but it's fall. I'm fully pretending that this season is fall, and that's okay. I'm in denial. I don't mind. We think about seasons kind of starting every 3 to 4 months. A season of prayer is something we've been in for a long time. I believe the season of prayer started with the ascension of Jesus into heaven. That began our season of prayer. That began us as a people, as a generation, starting to pray and contend for the heavenly things here on earth in a different way. Because before Jesus, the way of worship was sacrifice. I would bring my doves and my lambs, and I would come and I would give it to the priest, and he would take it before the Father, and he goes into the Holy of Holies and makes that that absolution for your sin. He would make that atonement for your sin. But now we go before the Father, we open up our hearts, and we are in the Holy of Holies, getting to access the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right then and there. A season of prayer, where I believe that when we call on the Lord, just like Pastor Chet said earlier, when we call on the Lord, he leans his ear in towards us. He's wondering what we have to say. So right now we're in a season of prayer, not because it's almost fall, not because it's summertime or September or anything, but it's because the day we live in. It's the day we live in. And right now as a church, we are just thrilled about what's happening. I tell you, I feel like, have you ever gone to a conference and then you come on Sunday and it's like, man, you've been in church for a whole weekend and you're just kind of a buzz with the Spirit of God? I'm coming in with that conference vibe primarily because we did Friday morning prayer. We did Friday night worship, and I've been contending. I've been seeking the Lord for this message, and I just feel like kind of jittery on the inside, like really excited for what God is going to do. And it reminds me that it doesn't take a lot to have that enthusiasm and that passion for the Lord. It's not a ton, it's just a couple, you know, like I'm just going to spend time with him a little extra. And all of a sudden I'm like, man, I'm on fire. I'm on fire. That's all it took was a night and a morning and a day, you know, like that's it. Okay. That's so easy. Sometimes we're like, man, I'm not really feeling it. I don't want to go, you know, like we feel that way sometimes, right? man, it doesn't take a lot to experience that fire, to experience that enthusiasm, to experience expectation, to walk in here and be like, dude, somebody's going to get healed. Man, I walk in here, I'm like, dude, somebody's going to get saved today. Somebody is going to have their soul go from dead to alive today, and I just can't even handle how exciting that is. Like, that's what's about to happen. So let's get into it. Ready? But I do want to invite you. This is the whole point. I want to invite you to Friday prayer. Friday prayers are happening every single Friday from now until we add an additional prayer. That's the only way we're going. We're going more. We're not going back. Friday morning prayer happens at 6:30. And I say it time and time again, I am not a morning person. I say this because I don't want people to call me in the morning. Please don't call me in the morning, call me in the afternoon, okay? I'm not a morning person. And so the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 Friday mornings, it has been pure sacrifice. I wake up, I have to get up very early because I can't be with people immediately when I wake up because y'all wouldn't like me. So I have to wake up early enough for me to like emerge, you know? And so I'm waking up very early now on Friday so I can be here and be human. You know what I mean? I'm waking up very early. And I tell you, the entire time I'm just like, man, it is every step. Like, I'm gonna wear pajamas, Lord. And he's like, no, put clothes on. Okay. Like every single, all of it is sacrifice. 100%. It is not something I want to do. It is not natural to me. But because of that, because I come and I say, okay, here I am fully clothed, makeup on and all. Here I am, Lord. That heart of sacrifice, that heart of like, I just am coming to meet with you. There's something happening in my own spirit because it's hard, not because it's easy, because it's hard. It is an interruption to what all the things that make me comfortable is an interruption. And so I'm challenging you. If you're feeling like Friday morning, 6:30, oh, that's real early. Or, oh man, I got to take my kids to school. Or my kids are annoyed because I'm doing Friday prayer and it makes them late for school. They like to be early for school because I'm raising super nerds. Praise the Lord. They like to be super early. And I'm like, well, on Fridays now, you're going to be right on time because we're doing Friday morning prayer. It's messing up our whole lives. My husband had to do the kids last time. Like, we're making it work. We're squeezing the possibility out of it. I can only come for the first 45 minutes because, again, I got to do my kids' stuff. But, man, the sacrifice of getting up and coming is wildly productive right now in my life. It's changing things. It's changing things in this church. It's changing things in the atmosphere of our staff and the atmosphere of the rest of our week. And how we come into Sunday mornings is directly impacted by what we're doing on Friday mornings. Okay? So I will challenge you. If you're just like, you've written it off because you're like, well, that's wild. Yeah, it is. And you need to be in it. You need to be in it. This room should be just as full on a Friday morning as it is on a Sunday morning. I want every single one of you to consider. Go look at your calendar. Like, can I make it happen? Is it even remotely kind of sort of in a way possible? Then you should get here. Do not miss out on that chance. And you might be saying like, well, I don't even really pray. Cool. Come and listen to other people pray. Be in the room. Be in the room and grow a heart of prayer. Grow a habit of prayer. It is vital. And I tell you, we are going somewhere and you don't want to miss the bus. We are going somewhere, guys. We are going somewhere and I don't want you to miss it because you felt like it was too early. Don't miss it. The other day I went to lunch with a friend. We left together from the office. And I park everywhere around downtown. Like I've walked to the wrong parking lot like 18 million times because I don't always remember where I parked. So I was walking with her and she was going to drive. So I just kind of went out the door and went the way I normally went. And then, oh, she's going that way. So we're like, you know, kind of caught up with her. I'm like, okay, yeah, we're going this way. So then we go that way. And then I assume, well, of course she's going to make a left here because she made a right. And so the whole time we're walking, I'm like, I could feel my body doing weird things. Like, oh, we're going to go this way. And she's like, nope, we're going this way. Because I didn't know where we were going. Because I didn't know where we were going, like, I'm just kind of assuming, and so, you know, have you ever done that? Like, your body's like, you're, like, colliding with your friend because they got an angle going in the parking lot this way, and your angle's over here. You just assume, and you're kind of colliding. Oops, oh, sorry, and you're just kind of bumping them down to where their car is. I do feel like if we are a people, we don't know where the goal is, we do very weird things. Okay. When it comes to intercession and prayer, if you don't know what the goal is, you might be doing weird things right now. We're in a season of intercession. You're like, cool, what does that mean? I don't know. You're like, you can just feel yourself. Like, I don't know what we're doing. What's intercession? What are we doing? You just feel yourself being weird. And that's okay. I'm going to give you some goals today. I'm going to give you an image and a picture of where we're heading so that you're no longer feeling like you're in tension with the flow that everybody else is going. You're right in the vein. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint about the target. Do you know your target when we're heading towards intercession and prayer, when we're leveraging intercession and prayer? I know and I believe Scripture teaches us that God changes his mind thanks to our prayers. He changes his mind. He doesn't change his character. That's a different thing. Okay? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will always be faithful. He will always be honest. He will always be powerful. He will always be sovereign. He's always going to be that way. But he changes his mind. Okay? And that doesn't necessarily mean that God is changing. It means sometimes he changes his mind. I'm still Candace. I'm still an awesome mom. Okay? But sometimes I pull the chicken out in the morning, but by evening, I'm like, we're having pizza. You know? Like sometimes, like I do all the preparation. Like, yep, this is where we're heading with dinner. And then like, no more. I will not turn on that oven. Order in. You know? Like, but I'm still me. But I have the power to make a change. Right? The kids are always praying that I'd make a change. They're always like, Lord, can we, Mom, can we possibly have In-N-Out tonight? And I'm like, nope, it's chicken, you know. Anyways, I believe that we're heading in a place where we have to learn how to capture the ear of the Lord. It's possible. It's possible for you. I believe that we're entering into a season where we're going to start doing additional spiritual damage. There are things in the spirit world that have gotten too comfortable taking control of our systems, of our kids, of our minds, and it is time for us to get on our knees and start to retake things that the enemy has grown too comfortable owning. It is no longer hid. It is no longer his. Those things are no longer for him. That mental health issue, that is for the Lord now. He's going to start to make a change in the area of mental health. That marriage that looks broken, he's going to start to make a change in that broken marriage. That body that has that death sentence on it, I believe the Lord can make a change in that body. And I'm going to start to stand up with this thing in my mind. I think it's possible. And if I think it's possible, I might pray different prayers. Do you think those things are possible? Scripture teaches us that God changes his mind, not his character, but he changes his mind for three different reasons. And these are the reasons that Scripture has taught us that God will change his mind. Number one, he changes his mind for intercessory prayer. This is why we're doing this, guys, because we believe we can change the mind. There is a trajectory that the culture that we live in, they're heading, but we believe we can turn it around. That's why we're going to pray. We believe it works. Not that it's nice, okay? We don't believe it's a part of our duty just to pray, but we believe that when we pray, it changes things. Okay, we see this all the time when people prayed in Scripture. The Lord even said, hey, this is my plan. I'm going to destroy this land because of their wickedness. And the people prayed, and the Lord relented. They changed his mind because they prayed. The creator of the universe listened to the prayers of his own kids. How humbling. My God, right now I just ask, Father, for our city. I pray against homelessness in Kings County, my God. I pray against the brokenness of addiction, my Lord. Would you heal the broken things in people's brains that say they can't function normally? God, you made that brain. And I believe, my Lord, that you can heal. I believe, God, you can intervene. I believe, God, that you can change. Lord, this is not a meth capital, Father. This is your city in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody once asked me, we're going to get back to this. Somebody once asked me, if every single prayer you pray today came true tomorrow, what would be different about the world? And I will tell you that for a lot of us, we would have really good dreams, a really good day, and really healthy pizza. you know, like, because we pray that this meal will be nutritious for our body, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, like, those are the things I hear us praying often, most consistent. Those would be the things that would change. But are we praying about the things that are actually bigger than us, that are way over there, that I'm like, I have no idea what to do about homelessness, actually. Okay, I'm going to love people. I'm going to, you know, give to this thing. I'm going to participate. I'm going to invite people. You know, like, we're going to do some things, but I have no clue how to fix that. It seems to be growing rapidly out of control. But I believe that intercession can help. I believe that there can be a change if I pray. So I pray for it. Scripture teaches that God changes his mind because of the repentance of people. When people say, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to live this way. When people start to make a shift in the way that they live, man, it changes God's heart. It changes his heart. Think of the story of Jonah. The story of Jonah is all about how God had his eye on a city and it said, this city is wicked and perverse. And because of that, I'm going to wipe them out. Don't mess with the Lord, man. He's going to wipe them out. So then he sends Jonah, and Jonah was just a salty, cranky old prophet who didn't want to do it because he didn't like them. He was judgmental towards them, a little bit potentially, I don't know, racist. Or, I don't know what the list is of why he was mad at these people, but he didn't like them. He had prejudged them. He's like, I don't want to talk to them. So I imagine his message being something like this. God said, go tell the people that I'm going to wipe them out if they don't act right. So he goes and he says, listen, God said he's going to wipe you out. If you don't act right. Like, I just imagine he wasn't doing all the things because he didn't like them. He wasn't like doing the oratory work. He definitely wasn't pacing a stage trying to get their attention. He was just like, you better turn or you're going to burn. Like, I'm sure he just said something kind of casual, right? And then all of a sudden, here's the thing. This is the move of God on a person's heart. Even if his message wasn't good enough, his presence was. And so it changed the people's heart. And all of a sudden they said, I'm in. Whatever the Lord wants us to do. What does he want us to do? He wants us to burn our idols. You got it, God. I'm going to stop sleeping with my mom. Okay, you got it, God. Like the wickedness that they had done, they just started changing their ways. They started living for the Lord, and the Lord didn't burn their city because they repented. Man, a repentant heart gets the ear of the Lord. And the third reason why God will change his mind is just out of his own compassion. Sometimes he looks and he sees, he's like, man, I had compassion. So I was going to send a flood, even after the moments, after the flood, it was like the Lord had compassion again. He had the flood and he wiped out. He's like starting over. And then he's like, you know what? In a moment of compassion, he said, I'm never going to do that again. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to make a way for them to be saved. Moved compassion. So where are we going with our prayers? Because we believe that intercessory prayer changes the mind of the Lord. It moves things in the kingdom world. I have faith for it. Sometimes my faith is really tiny. Okay. But there's a lot of stuff in scripture about tiny faith. There's a lot of stuff. And it says that it's okay if your faith is tiny. Because our God is not. Our God is massive. All consuming. And when we have tiny faith that a big God can do mighty things, and we pray for that consistently, it will change our heart. But I believe it'll change the heart and the ear of the Father as well. So what are you praying for today that should change the world tomorrow? If you're taking notes, please take notes. We like notes. I am really bad at notes. And so I put in a bunch of notes online and they're all wrong. So forgive me. Just follow along. They're in there. They're just in the wrong order. So just scroll down a little bit better. You'll be fine. If it bothers you, get off the online and write with paper. Okay. Don't be bothered. Don't allow the enemy to make you hate me. Okay. Cause that's the girl I am. My notes are out of order. So be it. Ready? We're going to start with hedge building, not gap standing, but we're actually starting with hedge building. Cause I want to paint a picture to you of the goal. Where are we heading with intercessory prayer? Where are we going? So that we're not doing weird things, right? Hedge building is one of the goals of intercessory prayer. Hedge building. I actually had to repent because I remember there was like a whole 2 years, I saw a meme about hedge building or praying for a hedge of protection of like praying for bushes all around people. And ever since then, I have not been able to stop kind of slightly giggling when people are like, Lord, I pray for a hedge of protection. I'm like, because I just think of bushes growing up all around them and they're just surrounded by bushes, hedges, you know, like that's what I imagine. And I'm just like, Lord, help me not to giggle in prayer because this is serious. This is serious, Lord. Anyways, he forgives me and whatever. So hedge building. So here I am preaching about hedge building because the Lord has a good sense of humor. You're going to build hedges, Candace. So hedge building is essentially building spiritual walls around people, houses, marriages, children, churches, cities, and regions. You can add any number of things to that list, but you're building spiritual walls. Through intercession, we're building up a defense system. Okay? Because we are intercessory prayers, and that is our status of soldier. Okay? Sometimes people do ranks, you know? When people are like, what are your rank in the army? Intercessor. Okay? That is my rank in the army. I don't know really what the army would be called, but in this army, I am an intercessor. And what I'm praying for is that hedge. I am building a hedge around certain things. Okay? I believe that the Lord wants us to have these hedges up because it protects the fruit inside what he's building. Okay? So I'm going to show you a scripture in Psalms 80. It says, why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and insects from the fields feed on it. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine. So this is painting a picture that without the hedge of protection, the fruit that the Lord is growing inside of you might be plucked prematurely. The things that God is, this happens a lot, honestly, and I pray this whenever somebody gets saved in this church. I'm like, Lord, give them that hedge. Because what happens is things start to grow on us, and as soon as we leave, people tell you, that didn't really happen. You're just kind of being emotional. That's fruit being plucked. All of a sudden, now you have doubt where you just had a moment of encounter. All of a sudden, now you have doubt. And I believe that when we're praying and interceding, that the Lord would protect the minds of the young Christians in our house. Young, not age, young spiritually. That the Lord would protect the minds of the young Christians in our house. It is that protection of the fruit that doesn't need to be plucked yet. It's protection of that fruit. And I believe that there's two images of this hedge of protection that I believe that God has given me. And the second one's really exciting. So it's this protective wall, this protection of, and again, I pray for hedges of protection, walls of protection over concepts, okay? Over things that are mobile. Like it's not just like my house, and it's not just this church, but it's my kids as they leave my car. Every time they leave my car, I'm like, Lord, protect those kids, protect their minds, protect their identity. Let no crazy teacher, no other stupid teenager, let nobody else try to tell my kid who they are. Right? I'm praying protection over their minds, which is a concept. It's not like a physical thing. Okay, so we're kind of going deeper than just the things we can see. It's the same thing for the fruit of things that are happening positive, like the fruit of generosity. Lord, I pray for a hedge of protection over the heart of generosity in this church, that during a recession, that the enemy would not try to have us clench our fists? Or would you protect that generosity that exists in this house? You know what I mean? Like we're praying over things. But look, listen to this other story. It's just wild, okay? So in the book of Samuel, it's the story of King David. King David was anointed by Samuel, but he was anointed to be king. But while he was anointed to be king, there already was a king. His name was Saul, and he used to be the anointed one. But it literally says in scripture, the Lord lifted his anointing off of Saul. Scriptures like that freak me out. Okay, the Lord lifted his anointing off of Saul. Lord, Lord, would you never lift your anointing off this house? May we be faithful to what you've given us and faithful to only seeking you and not our own glory. In Jesus' name. He lifted his anointing off of Saul and he puts it onto David. And so now Saul is super jealous. He looks over and he sees David young and eager and now with the anointing of the Lord, and he's jealous. So he starts trying to kill him. He's on this hunt on a regular basis. David used to be like his kid's best friend. He was over all the time hanging out, playing Xbox downstairs, you know, whatever. But in 1 Samuel 19, it paints an image to me that represents what is the impact of having a hedge. Okay, it says, when David fled, This is 1 Samuel 19, starting in verse 18. When David fled, he made his escape. He went to Samuel at Ramah. He told him all that Saul had done to him. Then he and Samuel went to Naoth and stayed there. The word came to Saul, and David was in Naoth at Ramah, so he sent men to capture him. So Saul's like, go get the guy, we're going to kill him, okay? So then they saw a group of prophets prophesying with Samuel standing there as their leader, and the Spirit of God came on Saul's men. They also prophesied. Woo! Verse 21, Saul was told about it, and he sent more men, and they prophesied too. Saul sent a man a third time. They also prophesied. Finally, he himself left for Ramah. He said, if you can't get something done, you got to do it yourself. So he gets up, and he goes to Ramah, and he went to the cistern of Siku, and he said, where are Samuel and David? Over in Naoth at Ramah, they said. So Saul went to Naoth at Ramah, but the Spirit of God came even on him, and he walked along prophesying until he came to Naoth. He stripped off his garments. He, too, prophesied in Samuel's presence. The man who lost his anointing, who came with ill intention, came into the presence of David and Samuel, and they began to declare the goodness of God. It was spontaneous. They could not be helped. And so here's my prayer for Koinonia Church, for Kings County, that we would start to pray a hedge of protection so that even if people come into this house with ill will, they will be so moved by the presence of God that nothing can come between us and our worship of our Lord. We would be on fire in a way that just starts to change hearts, even when they drive up into the parking lot. They drive into the parking lot, tears. They drive into the parking lot and they have a distaste for nicotine. They drive into the parking lot and they start to forgive their spouse. I believe that this, when we pray for that hedge of protection, that we protect the atmosphere of heaven that exists right here. And if you're praying small prayers, Lord, let them do the songs I really like. There's something bigger to pray for. Are your prayers all about you? Are they about moving the kingdom? I believe that God wants to do something different in this house. I believe he is doing something different in this house. Man, if you join the prayer team, you come up here and you just start to hear people and they're like, man, this was said in the word. I'm like, no, it wasn't. That wasn't said. But the Lord is translating things to hit and pierce hearts, to address issues exactly as he wants them to be addressed. He's doing something in these seats, in these pews before the Lord. So I'm going to invite up Papa Joe. He's going to tell us a story. He's going to share a testimony of how he, I tell you, Papa Joe, he's the head of our maintenance team here at the church, and it is a blessing for me to serve alongside of him. Because I know that he's praying hedge prayers. He is praying consistently for this campus, for the preschool. I've heard him pray for the bark, that nobody would get splinters. You know what I mean? Like, he's praying the prayers that are needed at this campus. But let's hear the story of how he's prayed for his family.
Good morning, church family. My name is Joe. When my daughter Kelly was ready to go off to college, she was headed for a big city, Dallas, Texas, a place we had no family or friends. And as a father, all I could think about was who was going to be there for her in times of trouble. If she broke down on one of those crazy freeways, or if she had a flat tire, or if she just needed a battery changed. It was a lot harder for me than it was for her to leave. The Bible tells us to ask and we will receive. So my wife and I stepped up our praying time. We started to pray for her safety. We asked the Lord to have a Christian man or woman every time Kelly needed help. And I can tell you, over the last couple of years, God has been faithful. Every time, day or night, she needed a hand, there was someone there for her to help. That's our God. He hears our prayers, every one of them. In Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12 says, "For he commands his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." God has an army of angels, and it's a big army. And Kelly's had a couple of those angels watching over her, and so do you and I. I'll tell you a story of my daughter. One time she was in Hawaii, and she was up on a mountain. Sorry. She was up on a mountain, and she slipped and fell about 20 or 25 feet in between two huge boulders, went in over her head, fell right in between them in water, and had she fell two steps sooner or two steps later, she would have been killed for sure. But I'll tell you, even where she lives now, on those crazy freeways in Dallas, she's had three total accidents on the freeway, not her fault. Car totaled, and she's walked away with just scratches and bruises. So I'll tell you that our God has kept her safe many, many, many times, and I'm so grateful. I encourage you this morning to keep praying for your family's safety. Don't stop. Step it up. Ask the Lord to send his angels to watch over your loved ones. In Matthew 26:53, Jesus is in the garden and about to be arrested. He's about to be arrested, and his disciples are trying to defend him. Imagine that. And Jesus said, "Stop," when someone drew his sword. "Do you think that I could not call on my Father, and he would at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" One legion is 6,000 angels. 12 legions is 72,000. That would fill most sports stadiums today. So I encourage you, don't give up praying. God is so faithful. Amen. He's been faithful to me. He'll be faithful to you. Church, step up your praying, especially right now. It's definitely needed. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. So we're hedge builders, guys. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to pray for our church. We're going to pray for our city right now. I don't know what portion of the hedge you are asked to pray for right now, but even ask the Lord, "Lord, how can I pray?" So let's just pray right now. Loud prayers. Go ahead and pray out loud. We're just going to intercede for a hedge of protection over the concepts, the ideas, the people, this generation. Lord God, would your hand be on this church, my God? Would you move on behalf of the marriages in this church? God, I pray, Father, for our military service men and women, my Lord, would you protect their minds? Would you protect those marriages and those kids in Jesus' name? God, I pray, Father, for a move of power and anointing to be settled into this church, Father, that really does start to change hearts and minds in a miraculous and powerful way. God, grow our faith to even know that we can ask for the impossible, God, that we can ask against, we can pray for wars, we can pray against wars, we can pray against hunger, we can pray against these things. God, would you continue to grow our faith that we are hedge builders in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You guys have a seat? We are standing in the gap. We are gap standers. So the goal of this intercessory prayer is we're building these hedges, but we're also standing in the gap. Okay? So this is all war terminology. I've never been in a war, okay? But what I've watched on TV is when there is a line of soldiers and somebody falls, they're wounded or they're taken out of the fight, that gap becomes a weak point in the line. And it is imperative for the army to fill it. So somebody else will come forward. Somebody else will come forward from the back of the line to the front of the line. Another image is if we are a castle with this huge wall, when an opposing army comes, they don't just try to scale the entirety of the wall. What they do is they target a single spot on repeat with a battering ram, trying to create a gap within the wall. And I believe the enemy has been doing this for generations. He's been creating gaps in the wall of our culture, gaps in the wall of our even our own faith, that we as a prayer people, we need to be standing in the gap. And standing in the gap is a challenging place to stand. Back in the day, when there would become a hole in the wall, when that battering ram would get there, that's where men would have to start going in to attack the people on the outside. That hole became the place where they now had to be more offensive. And the chance of those men being slain was high. They're right at the target. So intercessory prayer is not without a cost. Intercessory prayer, when you're standing in the gap, it's not without labor. It's not without a cost of your time. It's not without even a cost of your own assumptions. When I'm praying against homelessness in this nation, I have to work on my own assumptions. When I pray against our mental health, the mental health tragedies, I pray against suicide, I have to pray against my own assumptions. I have to lay those down and I have to say, Lord, I'm going to stand in the gap for my brothers and sisters who are too depressed to even pray. I'm going to pray on their behalf. I'm going to pray against my brother and sister who's struggling with suicidal thoughts right now. I'm going to pray on their behalf. And I believe that I'm allowed to stand in the gap where they may have a gap in their spirit. They may have a gap in their hedge. They may have a gap in their mind, their understanding, but I can stand there. I'm allowed. I'm asked to, and I can pray on their behalf. Are you standing in the gap? Here's what I know about gap standing. When you are standing in the gap, all of a sudden the enemy has his eyes on you. He does. But I've got a hedge of protection. I've already been praying for it. So let's go. Let's do this. Let's go. I'm still going to pray for it. And what it's going to do is when I pray those things, I think that the Lord, as I pray against homelessness, as I pray against mental health issues, as I pray against divorce, it puts those things in my world. And then that messes up my life. Right? All of a sudden, I'm like, well, no, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, it's in my life because I've been praying against it. I've been praying against those things, those principalities, praying against those things. And all of a sudden, now it's in my life a little bit different. It's going to mess up your world a little bit when you're a prayer warrior. But hallelujah. Because as we contend, as we seize God's hand for the thing, he leans in. And I just pray for mercy. This thing seems to be out of control. It seems to be out of control. It's like a car spinning. Lord, we're in the middle of this spin. Only you can stop it, God. And I believe he can. I believe he can. So I'm going to invite my friend up. She's going to share a testimony of how she was standing in the gap. Yeah, let's give it. Oh, words are so hard sometimes. You guys just saw like real Candace. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, your turn. Go.
Good morning, church. My story begins with a praying mama, like Papa Joe, praying for my husband. I guess she knew. So she would pray for him, and she asked one day, Lord, give me his name, and that way I can pray specifically for him. And he told her right away, Raul. And she said, really, Raul? Raul's his name? And he said, no. If I tell you what his name is, you're going to tell Leslie, and then she'll be thrown off by every Raul that comes by. So she prayed for Raul. And at 27, Raul came into the picture. Beautiful, filled all my heart's desires, 6'4", handsome, loved God, loved my family, had a great job. I didn't have too many things on my list. So 6 months later, we're married. A year and a half later, we have our first beautiful baby boy. A year later, we buy a home. About a year after that, we got pregnant again. We were living the dream, right? Married life and dream, until we weren't. And things hit. And I wasn't preferring him. And he wasn't preferring me. And we allowed lies and offenses to get in between us and to separate us. And ultimately, we did separate. Filed for divorce, reconciled that family would be broken. So the Lord would wake me after this happened, living alone with my baby. I would awaken at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I had family praying for us. They knew the situation and were praying for us. And I would get up and I would go into the living room and I would get on my knees before the Lord. And all I could say was, help God, help God, help, help God. It was like a feeble prayer, but such a heart-centered prayer. And sometimes it doesn't take a bunch of words to penetrate the heart of God. And I was standing in, help God. I didn't even know what I was calling for, but that help God grew. And it was, help me God, 5 months pregnant, help me God. Keep my baby. I put that hedge of protection around that baby inside me. I wanted to make sure that it was kept, that it wasn't experiencing the grief and the heartbreak that I was feeling. And then it was, help us, God. It started growing. Words started coming more. Help us, God. Help us, God. I pushed in deeper, and I said, God, would you change my heart? Would you change Raul's heart? Would you change our hearts, Lord? Would you turn us back to each other? Yes. Would you help us forgive? That was hard. It's a lot easier not to forgive. Would you help us to forgive each other? Would you help us to move on? Would you do what only you can do? And it was like I had hope, but I also left it with him. And eventually the 3 a.m. prayers kind of ceased. And before I knew it, we kind of started coming back together. And his heart changed towards me, and my heart changed towards him. And shortly before the birth of our baby, and I had forgot to tell you that I asked the Lord along the way for a beautiful, I didn't know what my baby was, we didn't find out, a beautiful baby girl. I wanted a girl, I wanted her to have red hair, and I wanted her to have blue eyes, because I wanted just this beautiful baby for me. Shortly before she was born, Raul moved back in. We decided not to divorce. We started to work on it and love each other and forgive each other and prefer each other. And shortly after that, gave birth to a beautiful baby girl, strawberry blonde hair, blue eyes, and just wonderful. I was going to tell you, on March 30th, we celebrated 30 years of marriage. Woo!
Church, can we be standing in the gap for the broken marriages, even in our own house? Are you praying for a spouse that has stopped praying for you? You could be the one, the only one praying. Let's just pray. Can you guys stand with me? Let's pray for marriages. We're going to do it. Lord, I'm so thankful, God, for the gift of marriage. Well, whether you're married or not, let's just contend for marriages right now. God, I pray that the enemy would get his hands off of our marriage, this sacred covenant in Jesus' name. It is yours. Right now, I pray for you that hedge of protection around those unions in Jesus' name. I pray against the effects of pornography in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that there would be no outside wandering eyes. I pray against emotional ties in places that they don't belong. Father, I pray that there would be fruit and compassion and just such a tenderness in these marriages. My Lord, I pray, God, that you would bring people, partners, Father, older couples maybe who need to speak life and truth and maybe warnings into young marriages. My Lord, would you do what you do in the community of the church, Father? Help us to be different, Father. Help us to be overcomers, my God. Help us to keep it in our mind that there is no weapon that's formed against me that should prosper, Father, if I am seeking after you. And in seeking after you, we give you our marriages in Jesus' name. Would your hand be the thing that drives these relationships in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, last but not least, I'm going to go through it real quick. But last but not least, so we are building hedges. We are standing in the gap, and we are filling the cup. We are filling the cup. So we actually sing a song that has a ton of imagery that's in the New Testament, in Revelation. The saints dropping their crown before the throne. Every night, every day, let incense arise. Those are all images that come from the book of Revelation. Revelation gives us a couple other images, and it's these two cups. Okay? One cup is filled with the iniquities of the people. When we sin, it goes into the cup. It's just kind of a way of quantifying it. A picture of quantifying what's happening in the spirit world when we deny the Lord, when we allow evil to exist without stopping it, goes into the cup. And it says that cup of wrath is going to be poured over the earth. It's hard stuff, man. Thinking about what's coming for the unbeliever, it's hard stuff. And it creates in me a desperation to get them. I don't want the cup of wrath for my brother and sister. I don't want it. But there's a second cup, and it's a cup of blessing, okay? And it says in Revelation 8, 3, and 5, another angel who had a golden censer came out and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer, and with the prayers of all God's people, on the golden altar in front of the throne, the smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people. There's this combination, this spiritual combination being described here. It went up before God from the angel's hand, and the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, hurled it on the earth, and there came pearls of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. There can be a different kind of crash when the cup of blessing becomes thrown over the earth, when a cup of favor gets poured over the earth. See, here's the thing, is while I know I'm standing in the gaps of the enemy's eyes on me, I also walk with the confidence of the favor of God. Okay, I do both of those things. I am confident that the enemy is watching my household, but I am confident that I walk with the outpouring of the favor of God. And so he may come at me, but what is inside of me is stronger than what he could ever bring. So I walk with a different swagger. I walk and I pray with a different swagger. I walk and I pray with a different confidence because I know that when I pray, I'm filling the cup. I'm filling this cup. When I pray, I'm filling the cup, and the whole world will be blessed because of my prayers. They will be blessed because of my prayers. The cup is going to go over the whole earth, not just Camford or Kings County, not just Grangeville where I live, but over the whole earth. And so when I pray, I believe I'm filling the cup. Are you filling the cup with your prayers? Do you believe that it goes beyond just your immediate needs? Do you believe that it goes beyond just your good dreams and your good pizza? Do you believe that it goes beyond those things and you are filling the cup to bless the earth? I'm filling the cup. And I tell you, the cup of iniquity is also getting filled. It is getting filled. Man, the wickedness in this planet. The wickedness. I won't be stopped by it. Here's the thing about the wickedness. It can stop your prayers. If we get obsessed, like, man, it's so broken. Man, sometimes I'll have like a counseling session and I just hear about the brokenness. I'm like, that's a fresh version of broken. I had never known that that existed. And instead of causing me to sit and just be sad, I go and fill the cup. You go and fill the cup. When you pass by a person, you're like, man, that person is out of their mind. You're driving down the street, you see people, they are out of their mind. Go and fill the cup. Fill the cup. Fill the cup with your prayers for the blessings on this world. It is not in vain. It is not small. It is not just a checkbox in your Christianity list. It is work for the kingdom for us to be filling the cup because I believe I want blessings. I want the favor of God. I want this place to be different. I want this house to be his. And so I'm going to fill the cup. I'm not going to stop praying. If the enemy shows me something new, I just got new things to pray about. Thank you for showing me that level of evil. Now I know I can pray better. Now I can know I can pray different. I can pray more specific prayers. I'm going to pray different. I'm going to keep praying because I'm filling the cup. I'm going to allow my sister to come up. She's going to pray for us. She's going to share a testimony and then pray for us. But let's hear about the blessing in her heart, in her life.
God bless you. I just have a short testimony. Last year, about this time, I had gotten very, very sick. I was driving for my job. I am a truck driver. So I was driving down the 99, and I started to feel this pain in my chest, and I started to not be able to breathe correctly, and I immediately fear came over me, like immediately, and my arms started tingling and my eyes started doing this weird thing, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna die in this truck, like this is just where I'm gonna die, because that's how I felt. So then I called my dispatch and I was like, hey, I cannot finish this. Like, mind you, I'm loaded. I'm like halfway to where I need to be. And I'm trying to think, should I call 911 or what do I need to do? So I said, Holy Spirit, like, what do I do? In that moment, I said, well, Hamford is far, but I'm trusting that God will get me there. So I turned back around, brought the truck back to Visalia, got in my car and came to Hamford. Went to the hospital, had all kinds of stuff done to me. To check me out, everything you could think of. And I couldn't breathe, and the doctors were like, we can't find anything. They did blood work, they did everything, and they couldn't find anything. To make a long story short, 2 months I stayed like that. I couldn't work, I was off of work, because I couldn't breathe, I just couldn't breathe. And I couldn't figure out what it was, why I couldn't breathe. And I couldn't sleep right, I would sleep on my side, I would wake up in the middle of the night. Let me tell you, in those 2 months, I learned how to call out to God like I never did before, and I've been walking with the Lord for a long time. So I was like, God, I need an answer. Let every man be a liar, let you be the truth. Show me. I just kept asking God, come on, Lord, please, like, let me turn to the wall and ask for 15 more years. I need 100 more years. I'm not done. And so then I I went to Bible college for 3 years, and in that Bible college, I met a lot of people who are now pastors. So praise the Lord for connection, right? We stand in the gap. That's what we're talking about. This list of prayer people that I know that are pastors, I reached out to every single one. Every single one called back and said, hey, we're praying for you, checking in. Hey, it's been 3 weeks. I'm still sick. It's been a month. I'm still sick. I still can't breathe. It's been 6 weeks. And then I remembered that when I first started Bible college, I have a friend who is now a pastor in Tulare, and the Lord uses her powerfully. The Lord uses her. And when I first met her, me and her did not get along. But it was because, and now I realize, thinking back, that it was because the enemy was trying to break that bond that we were about to create. The reason was because me and her were a lot alike. So when we got past that and we became really good friends, she is now one of my closest friends. I reached out to her not knowing that 7 years later after Bible college, she would be the one that would be interceding for me. Listen, you need somebody to stand in the gap for you. And you need to be that person to stand in the gap for somebody else too. Because you never know. That could be the difference between them not waking up in the morning, because God is listening. God is listening, and in a one moment, he could change everything around. But listen, the point to my story is, I called her and I said, look, if you don't pray for me right now, I'm not going to wake up. I'm not going to wake up. I'm telling you right now, this is how I feel. I'm not going to wake up. And she said, sis, let me get into prayer. I'm going to call you back. She went into prayer, and she called me back later on that night. It was like 10 o'clock at night. She said, I got it. And I'm like, what is it? And she said, it's something spiritual. The enemy doesn't like what you've been doing. The enemy doesn't like how you've been talking. He doesn't like how you've been praying. He doesn't like the people you've been sharing with. Listen, there's a snake wrapped around you that doesn't let you breathe. And we're going to get into prayer right now. When I tell you that she said, lay flat on your face, I laid flat for 4 hours. 4 hours. I put the phone next to me, crying, pleading out to God to release whatever that was the enemy was trying to put on me. And let me tell you, it didn't come. That night I did sleep good. And the next day I woke up and I could still feel a little something, like just a little, like a little needle, something pushing. I said, okay, God, you're doing it. You're going to do it. There's no way, I don't care. You're going to do it. I don't care. You're going to do it. And I told God that. I don't care. You're going to do it, God, because I'm not done here yet. You have a lot of work still to do, and you could use me as an expression, God. And that's why the enemy was trying to stop what God was doing. Listen, it wasn't that day, but the next day when I woke up, and look at me now. No, listen. It took on the third day, not that next day, but the third day. Moral to the story, prayer is powerful. Stand in the gap for somebody. It could mean the difference between life and death. Listen to what I'm telling you. Prayer is key. If you do not pray, there is nothing. You have nothing. There is no connection. How are you supposed to say that you have a connection with God if you don't pray? That's the way that we talk to him. That's the way. That is the way. There's no other way. And listen, you need somebody. You need somebody. We are not meant to walk this road by ourselves. The enemy will make you think that you don't need nobody. The enemy will make you think that. But listen, you need somebody to stand in the gap for you. I don't know if I would not have called her. Who could I call? Yes, on the name of Jesus. But he also put people in our path to help us through those tough situations. I want you guys to stand with me today. We're going to pray because there's a lot of need in this church and a lot of need in this place and a lot of need here in Hanford and Lemoore and all these areas. There's a lot of people who trust in God. There's a lot of people who every day they wake up and they call on the name of Jesus, but their bodies hurt. Their minds hurt. Their heart hurts. Sickness, disease. We know that we live in this world that is full of sickness, but we know that we could call upon the name of the Lord and he will come to our rescue. If you are a faithful reader of your word, then you know what I'm telling you is true. Read the book of Acts and you'll see time after time after time after time of God showing his goodness and his mercy and his grace. And right now, I know that there's somebody in this place right now that needs healing. Healing in the mind. It's not just of sickness, of your thoughts, of any type of depression, of any type of anxiety. We think that it's just when we're laid up in the hospital. Let me tell you what God taught me through that 2 months that I was laying there. I would have never learned how to pray for sick people, but I had never been sick like that. I had never been sick like that. And now I know that God is a merciful God. Now I know how to pray for people. Now my tears come out because I know how it feels to feel like, that's it. This is it. That's it, God? No, it's not. And today, I'm telling you, somebody in this place, God wants to work on your behalf, for you could go out and give his testimony and bring others to Christ.
Let me invite the prayer teams to come up front. Nene's going to lead us in a prayer for anybody who needs prayer. Everybody, I know we've gone long and I apologize for that, but let's just take a couple minutes. If you need prayer for healing in your body, we want you to raise your hand. We're just going to pray a prayer of faith over our bodies. Yes. So if you need prayer over your bodies because you're sick, either in the body or in the mind or in a relationship issue, just raise your hand. There's hands all over the place. So we're just going to pray right now. Father. Nene's going to lead us in prayer. If you want, you can come up to the front and we can the saints can agree with you, lay hands on you. But we're just going to spend right just a few minutes right now. We're just going to pray a prayer of faith for healing in Jesus' name. Go ahead.
Oh God, we come before you this morning, God. We need you, God. We're in this place because we need you, God. We woke up this morning because we need you, God. We heard of the good news, my God. We heard and we came. Jesus, this morning, there's a lot of sickness in this place, my God. Jesus, I'm asking you, and I'm standing in the gap for my brothers and sisters this morning, God. Father, you went and you sent your son to the cross for just such a time as this, my God. Father, the blood of Jesus that was shed, it wasn't just for nothing. It wasn't for anything. It was for this, my God. Lord, we're praying for favor, the mantle of healing over this place, God. Lord, we lift you up because we know that you can do it. We come before you this morning, humbly asking you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to align our blood with your blood, my God. We speak life into our bones this morning, God. We speak to our blood and we say death shall not be upon us this morning. No spirit of death that is hovering around this place, it shall flee in the name of Jesus. No untimely death. God, you will command your angels to go around us everywhere we go. When we leave our houses, when we are traveling, God, we ask that you would be with us, God. Jesus, I'm asking this morning to do a miracle in this place. Jesus, we're coming before you, Lord, because we know that you can do it. Padre amado, venimos delante de tu presencia hoy en esta mañana sabiendo, Padre, que tú puedes sanar al enfermo, Señor. Padre, mira tu pueblo, estamos llorando diciendo, Dios, levanta, exaltamos tu nombre sabiendo que tu Espíritu Santo está rearmando en este lugar, Señor, sanando el cuerpo del enfermo, Dios. Espíritu Santo, haz algo en este lugar, Padre, para exaltar tu nombre y darte la gloria. We give you the glory and the honor, my God. We stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters, God, knowing that you are doing something in our lives. We will never be the same. Nunca seremos igual, porque hemos escuchado la palabra que tiene poder para transformar y para sanar. Padre Santo, te amamos. And even if you don't, my God, I will still say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah to the one that was risen, that he was only dead for 3 days and then he rose again, because you are good and you are faithful. Y tú eres un buen padre, Señor, y tú quieres lo mejor para tus hijos, Dios. Y por eso estamos, Señor, declarando la sanidad en este lugar, Padre. We are declaring, Jesus, that you are doing something in this place. We love you and we worship you and we exalt your name at all times, my God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, by the power of the blood, by the power of the blood, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.